Follow along as I read Hebrews chapter 11, 23 through 29. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would use your word to encourage us to more faithful reliance upon you. Forgive us for our times when we run ahead of you, when we trust in our own strength, and we just fail to come to you in prayer and in dependence for emotional, physical, and spiritual strength. And God, I pray that today we might be reminded of the faith that is necessary in our lives. We will fail you. We will make poor attempts. But Father, may our heart's desire be to be a people who are trusting you, trusting in your word to guide our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Today we're going to pause and reflect, kind of take a detour and pause and reflect on this matter of faith. How do you want to be remembered? How would you like at the end of your life to be remembered? Here is Moses in the great faith chapter of the Bible. If you were to kind of just look down that particular chapter, you'll find there's some great names listed of people, patriarchs, who are here in this chapter because of their faith in God. He is listed because of his faith. He took God at his word and believed. Now, isn't that amazing? Think with me about my sermon last week. What did we talk about? We talked about Moses and his excuses and his failures and how he came to the Lord and said, Lord, I can't. I'm not eloquent enough. I don't know what I'll say to the people. I can't do it. Send someone else. And now we find at the end of the Bible, toward the end of the Bible, we find here that Moses is remembered for his faith. What happened? How does that happen? He's not here remembered for him murdering the Egyptian, running ahead of God, giving excuses to God, and rejecting, really, to do God's will. He's not here recorded as one who hit the rock and couldn't go into the promised land because he disobeyed God. He's here being remembered for his faith. I think the fact that Moses being listed in Hebrews 11 is a sign of God's mercy and grace. How God can take a failure and someone who's tripping up all the time, stumbling over himself, giving every reason why he can't be used as the deliverer for God, and yet God chooses to use him, and then he wants us to remember Moses for his faith. Left to himself, Moses would have lived in luxury, but never would have known the true and living God. God reveals himself to Moses personally, probably initially through his parents, but then later on through the burning bush, and maybe other times as well that are not listed in God's word. But by faith, he entered into a relationship with God. And this is how we enter into a relationship with God, through faith. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you might wonder, how do I get right with God? It's through faith in Jesus Christ. The book of John is fantastic. It's wonderful in pointing out the splendor of Jesus Christ. And why do I zero in on John now as we're talking about faith from Hebrews? And here's why. Because do you remember the discussion last week when we talked about how as Moses gave his excuses, I can't do this, I can't do that, I'm not eloquent, all this sort of thing. What was God's response? I will be with you. Here is who I am. Here is my name. I will be with you. Trust me. I will enable you. I will send a helper to go alongside you. He kept reassuring him, Moses, of who he was and what he's capable of doing through him. And do you remember what the name was that God gave to Moses? Does anybody remember? Just say it right out. What was the name that he gave when he said, I don't know who you are, but what's your name? I am. I am. And I find that interesting that then the Lord Jesus Christ takes that name that is so precious. Remember now, the one who said that in the book of Exodus was the angel of the Lord, the second person of the Godhead, appearing as the angel of the Lord in the burning bush. Now, Jesus Christ is the second person of the Godhead in flesh, and he's revealing himself to us. Obviously not to us 2,000 years ago, but to us through his word. Now we find that the great I am is saying, I am. And here's what I'd like for you to do. Go home today and study, or this week, and look at the I ams in the book of John where Jesus is stating right out without any question that he is the I am of the Old Testament. In fact, he says this in a discussion with those that are wondering who he is in John 8, verse 58. He says this, before Abraham was, I am. A clear declaration that he is God. John 6, 48 begins a series of seven I ams that Jesus flat out is claiming to be God. In fact, how do we know that? Because the people knew he was claiming to be God, and every time they were ready to kill him. In fact, they were ready to stone him on many occasions. But he's, I am the bread of life, he says in John 6. John 8, I am the light of the world. John 10, I am the door. John 10 later on, I am the good shepherd. John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 15, 1, I am the true vine. Faith, our first step of faith must be in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the great I am. We enter into a relationship with God by faith, and then we walk the Christian life by faith. And so really, as we look back at Hebrews chapter 11, I wanted to set that stage. I missed that last week to tell you that. I wanted to refer to that. But we come back, and this is talking about the walk of faith then. Once we have entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ by faith, now we need to walk by faith. It's no longer, okay, I'm on my own. I'm a Christian now, and now I make all my decisions. No, we continue our walk of faith after we believe and throughout our Christian walk. And here Moses, we're seeing in his life. And I think it's important that we understand that this is the same one that was making the mistakes, that was failing, that was disobedient to God. Our walk of faith is a process of ups and downs. We've seen that already. But we really, in our study so far, we've only seen him really take a stand where he says, I refuse to be called Pharaoh's daughter's son. All right, that was a pretty admirable and commendable step of faith. To the Jews, he was a great lawgiver, though, and a great prophet and a deliverer. And we find that a lot is said in the Word of God about Moses. And yet we look and say, wow, but up to this point, he's really made a lot of failures. He's not shown much progression in his faith. And that's why, again, I wanted to bring this emphasis today, that the walk of faith is a process. We're going to have our ups and downs. But yet, Moses is known for his faith in spite of his failures. I want to encourage you today to know this. You never outgrow your need to have faith and trust in God. You never get to the point in your life where you can say, I got it. I have faith. I have arrived. There are always new challenges. There are new opportunities to grow. But it may be through pain and struggles that you grow. For some of us, it may include physical challenges. For some, it may include financial crisis. For some, it may involve emotional distress. But God is doing a work in our lives because he loves us and because he wants to grow us up in faith. I'm amazed at what God is doing in our family. You know, I can't say, well, Michael, trust God with your throat situation. You're 20 years old. You just need to get your act together. Trust God. Because mom and dad are having to learn to trust God too in our own walk. And then Josh, our 30-year-old son, they're right now traveling back from Colorado, determining what God would have them do. They had some job interviews there. And we're all at different stages in our life, in our spiritual walk, but we're all having to trust God. And so I think it's important that we look here how the Word of God addresses Moses' faith and be encouraged that hopefully at the end of our lives we'll be known as people who walked by faith. Look at the scripture before us. In verse 23, we see by faith, Moses' parents chose to disobey the king. And, you know, it looks like at first it's Moses' faith, but he was the baby. So it wasn't his faith, it was the parents' faith in verse 23 that was so important and emphasized here. That they took the challenge of having a baby, they hid the baby because all babies were supposed to be thrown into the Nile. We looked at that already. But God wonderfully protected and honored that decision and that walk of faith. And they chose to hide their child, and then we know the story of how God protected and took care of that child through the birth mom and then later on through Pharaoh's daughter. We need to be willing to take a stand for God no matter what. That's a faith example, verse 23. The second thing we find in verse 24 is Moses chose to identify with God's people. And we see that verses 24 through 26. Notice what it says again. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, probably around in his late 30s, around 40, when he was grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Moses made some very significant decisions. He chose to reject the things that we all strive for. He chose to reject fame and pleasure and wealth. Now, maybe as Christians, we don't strive for those things, but that's what our world says to strive for it. Get all the fame you can. Have all the pleasure that you want and get as much wealth. That shows that you're really somebody. But Moses made a choice of faith, by faith. He rejected the throne. He could have very easily been on the right path, the fast path to fame and to sit on the throne someday for Egypt. But he chose to reject that. He publicly refused the title, and even to the insult of Pharaoh and to Pharaoh's daughter. Faith was courageous. He gave up the pleasures that he could have enjoyed. I mean, he could have had pleasures of every sort. He could have had his own harem and lived very nicely and enjoyed all kinds of things. But I love what the scripture says, and I want to remind all of us of this. It says, he chose rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And some Bibles say, for a season. Oh, sin is pleasurable, but it's only pleasurable for a season. And he chose to reject that and the wealth of this world because he chose to identify with God's people. Moses chose a path of affliction and suffering, conflict instead of comfort, adversity instead of prosperity, sorrow instead of satisfaction, pain instead of peace, suffering instead of solace. He chose the company of God's people, God's despised people. He chose the path of reproach and scorn. How could he do that? I could imagine there was conversations going on in the land of Egypt when people heard of this decision that he'd made, whispering going on around the land. Did you hear about Moses and the choices he made? Could you believe that? He chose short-term suffering for long-term blessing. Notice how could you do that? Because he chose to the reproach of Christ as greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. He was looking to the reward. And folks, I think there's some great lessons in all of that. And again, just think about that. He wasn't just looking at the immediate results and the immediate feel-good sense, but he was looking for a greater reward and was willing to associate with his God no matter what. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 says this. Paul writes, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And then he also writes in 2 Corinthians 4, therefore do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but as what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And how we need to do what Moses did and believe God's word and not look at just this life that is so temporary, but look at our next life and look at our time with Him and long for heaven. And oftentimes that's what trials do. They point us to what really counts. Number three, we see by faith he stood up to Egypt's king, verse 27. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Number four, by faith Moses obeyed to the saving of God's people, verse 28. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. We're going to look at that in days to come, the observance of the Passover and what that means and why that observance was made. That, can you think about that when the Lord gave the instructions for the Passover? Take a lamb, kill it, take the blood, put it over the doorpost, along the side post. I mean, that was different. That was strange. And yet that was the only way for the death angel to pass over the firstborn and to not kill them. They needed to trust God. They needed to have faith that God knew what he was doing and God meant what he was said to do. Number five, by faith Moses led his people through the Red Sea. Verse 29, by faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. At first you'd think it was the faith of the people, but when you look back in Exodus, I'm not sure exactly, 13 or 14, you find out basically, I was reading that this morning, forgot the verse that it went, but it was talking about the people grumbling and complaining. Why didn't we just stay in Egypt? You know, I don't like this. You've left us out here to die. We're creating new graves out here. What are you doing, Moses? And yet Moses said, stand and see the salvation of the Lord. And so he, by faith, trusted his God for what he was going to do. Well, I'd like to bring this conclusion, and I think I'm going to close a little earlier than normal, and you probably like that. I'd like to close with these few thoughts. If someone were to write about you, what would they say? Would they mention your decision of faith and trust in Christ and your walk of faith? That you made good choices in spite of the odds to trust your God? Anything that we accomplish by way of our Christian walk by faith is only by God's grace. But here's a couple things to remember. Number one, our faith will not mature overnight. Our faith will not mature overnight. It's a process. It's happening throughout the course of our lives. We need to be faithful to God over the long haul. It takes time. It's a process over a lifetime. There is no Holy Spirit gospel drink that you can take to be all of a sudden an instant success in your faith. There's no gospel pill you can take. We must trust Christ, trust Him on a daily basis, our walk of faith. Number two, we need to be patient with each other in our walk. All of us are at different stages. Some of you are examining the faith. Some of you are just in the faith, just a part of the family of God, and you are trying to figure out what it's all about. What is prayer? What is the study of God's word? Why do we do what we do? Who is Jesus Christ in all of his fullness? We're at different stages, but we need to be patient with each other. We need to be patient and let God do his work in each other's lives. We need to show each other a lot of grace and a lot of love. Number three, it's not going to be easy in our walk of faith. For some of us, For some of you, it may involve a great cost financially, physically, emotionally. But what did Christ say? Die to yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Oh, you'll be mocked and you'll be ridiculed for your faith. When you align with Jesus Christ, you're going to be among a minority. But expect it. And I think the way things are changing in our country, we can expect it more and more as the days go by. And then number four, obeying and living by faith is worth it. It's worth it. In our faith walk, it's important to keep the end in mind. Where is our real reward? Not here, but it's in heaven. We need to keep in mind that life is temporary. Eternity is a long time. Where will you spend eternity? What are you laying up in eternity by way of your service for Christ? I encourage you today, trust Him. And again, I don't know where you're at in your walk. I don't know what things you're dealing with, but the Holy Spirit knows that, and I trust is applying that to your heart, that you're going to trust Him on a daily basis. Yes, we're going to have our days when we're down and we struggle, but trust Him. God will help us through. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the reminder of how You took Moses with all of his failures, and yet You used him, and we're going to see that in days ahead, in a mighty way. Thank You for the reminder that You're there, that You're the great I Am, that You do enable, that You send help our way, by way of other Christians and by way of the Holy Spirit's ministry from within. And God, I just pray that we would determine today to trust You, to realize that You're more powerful than us. You are able, and You will never steer us wrong. But, oh God, may we just learn to read Your Word and find the promises that are there and then trust it. God, help us. Help our unbelief, we pray in Jesus' name.